Man. The last time I was here, we were in a time of praise and worship, and Mike and Melissa slowed it down, and it was kind of like, it was a time for you just to be able to think on God's way and what God would have for you. And at the time, God had called me to go to Niagara Falls, where I'd been preaching to the rescue mission out there. And everything was all set except for the airline flight. And I said, Lord, I can't afford $400 to take me to Niagara Falls. I said, that's just way too much. And I typically will fly out of O'Hare and find a hotel down here to keep my car parked, and then they'll taxi me over to the gate, and then from there I fly out to wherever I'm going to come back. It's a lot cheaper and it's easier for me to fly out of O'Hare, and usually I can get to where I'm going without any extra stops. I just go. And so I'm like right there, and Pastor Mike and Melissa were slowing it down, and the Lord spoke to me, said, Mike, I got the airline flight for you. So I'm all excited. I go home after I preached here, and I got home, and I got on the internet. $424, it went up another $24. I said, Lord, that's not you. That is not you. That's the airline. And so the very next day, Tuesday rolled around, or Monday rolled around, and I got this email from United Airlines. And they said, are you still looking for a flight? And I said, yeah, you know, I'm sort of thinking, yeah, yeah. Well, we've got flights for $200. Would you be interested to go to Buffalo for $200? So I quick signed up and put my card in there and said, I'm gone. But the Lord said he had a flight. And when I looked at the $400 one, I knew that wasn't God. I knew that wasn't what he had. I didn't know what he did have, but I knew that wasn't it. But when I got the email, normally I don't get emails from airlines except when they're desperate to have me do something for them. I said yes. And then, like I say, $214, and I was like, whoo-wee. And I could fly there, fly back, and the hotel and all that was taken care of. I could park my car for $4 or $5 a day at a hotel nearby, and they'll shuttle me right to the door. So anyway, I say that because praise and worship is huge, and doing praise and worship here, when God really spoke to me, I just never forgot that time. Let's just say that. So I'm going to try to do all this without dumping everything, and as I going here, I'm going to be in a couple different passages, but I want to start out in the book of Matthew. So I'm just going to put my stuff over here. I returned from Bethel Church, and I had a very fascinating time. Before I went, the Lord had spoke to me and really wanted me to go, and I was preaching down at the mission, and I had an out-of-body experience there while I was preaching. And I was behind the pulpit, I was preaching, but I was like off to the side, and I could see myself preaching from behind, and I was like, whoa, God, I've never had that happen to me before. But I knew that was God showing me something. And I went there, and God orchestrated everything, including a place to stay for $50 a day, which was a family that went to that church, and they allowed me to be able to stay there. So Luke chapter 1 is where we'll start out today. And because we're in the Christmas Advent season, and I'll kind of go into some of what God had given me. I just say hallelujah, thank you for having me. I could tell you that I was at a prison yesterday, and I was at the rescue mission yesterday. People got saved both places. I was at the rescue mission yesterday, and my friend Bud, he does the praise and worship for me there. I do some music there, and I do some singing there and all that, but he does the main bulk of it. And he preached on a message called The Prodigal Christmas. And interestingly, he did say make an altar call for prodigals, and I thought, huh. So I had time at the end, and I just poured out my heart toward people who wants new Christ, wants to walk with him, and two guys stood up and received just to recommit their lives back to God, along with whoever got saved that day, and hallelujah. But I've had some very awesome experiences where I'll preach a message, and then a friend that my mom and I know that works there, little short little guy, full of the Holy Ghost, just comes running and just yelling and screaming and shouting for Jesus. And what he does is he comes up to the front and he says, "Now you just heard an awesome presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is here. You guys have needs. Come on up and pray." And I'd have like 15, 17 guys just automatically come up, and they were just praying and holding hands. And I'm just like, "Lord, help me," you know, and hallelujah. The birth of Christ. And starting at verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," big letters, Jesus. "And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this thing be, seeing I know no man?" And the angel answered her, unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her whom was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God nothing is impossible." For with God nothing is impossible. Mary is a young woman, some say 14 to 16 years old, having the mind of an adult woman to be able to keep things to herself and not blabble that she was going to have the Christ child. And she kept it to herself, and she had this vision, and she had this visitation from the angel. And her cousin Elizabeth also was conceiving and also having a child. And so we have two miracles going side by side. We have the birth of Christ coming out of this young woman named Mary, who has never known a husband, never known another man, and her cousin Elizabeth. And I say these two miracles are awesome. But the two miracles that we see of Christ here in this passage has happened in your life and mine. There are some who come to Christ at the early age of a Mary, and the Holy Spirit overshadows you, and the Holy Spirit brings his life into you, and you conceive and you birth a whole new relationship with Christ that you never had before. And the miracle that Mary had is the miracle that happens in the young person's age when they receive Christ and they know him as Lord and Savior. Her world was never the same after she bore Christ. Your life was never changed after you bore Christ. But then again, there were some of us, like I was at the age of 33 when I gave my life to the Lord. I am in the Elizabeth camp, and those that were older. And she was an older woman, and the Bible says that she was also barren. And the Bible says that none of these things are impossible with God. At the age of 33, I gave my life to the Lord. At the age of a much older age, my stepfather and my mother received Jesus. And so the same Holy Spirit that saved the young child and saved the young Mary is the same spiritual application that happens to the Elizabeths of which we are a part of. And we have Christ that comes to live within us. And we also bore this miracle of the Holy Spirit living within us, Christ with us, Emmanuel. And he comes into our lives. And although it's not Christ in the sense of an actual birth, in the spiritual sense, it is a miracle. It is a birth that you and I are here, that we're celebrating Christmas, that we're here because our sin debt has been forgiven. And the Pharisees, who said who could forgive sin as being the strict religious people they were? And Jesus said that God has the power to forgive sins. And he came to forgive sinners. And so he came with the ability in our lives to make the impossible possible. He came to make you and I creatures that would stand outside of space and time, to be children of heaven rather than children of this earth. No longer living in the flesh, but living in the power of the resurrected Christ that lives within you. He's called us to a resurrection power that is so great, it's so mighty, it's well beyond us to even grasp, as Pastor Mike was preaching. While I was at Bethel, we had a meeting before we went into what we called the healing room. And the healing room is a group of people that will pray for your needs. But before that, you're in the sanctuary, you're waiting for your number to be called on the screens, and then when your number's called, you just go into this room where they pray for you. And they said, do not let no one pray for you except somebody that has the Bethel name tag. So I said, okay, you know, that's the way you want to do her. So I'm sitting there in this sanctuary, and this girl was 10 years old, and she had a 9 and an 8-year-old boy girl with her, and she's walking around. And she comes up to me and she said, can I pray for you? God led me to pray for you. And I looked at, yep, she had a name tag, so I guess, you know, I better let her pray. So she prayed for me. And she goes, is it okay if I touch you? And I didn't even tell her exactly what was going on with me, why I was there, what I needed healing from. And she touched my nose. And the second she touched my nose, she prayed. And my sinuses cleared up, and I never had another drainage while I was there. And I went into the healing room shortly after that. And they were praying for me for my fear of heights and for some other things that I had that didn't make sense to them. They said, how do you do prison ministry, go to a maximum security prison, feel comfortable, and are afraid of heights? They said, that doesn't make sense to us because you ought to have more fear of going into prison than you would being on top of a mountain. I said, I don't understand it, but I'm taking it. I receive what you say. So I came back out in the sanctuary, and I'm sitting there before my class starts, and the lady that was a director of the healing things was up at the stage, and she said, there's a lady here that wants to give testimony. And I said, wow, that's cool. So this lady gets up there, and she's about my age. I walked in with her. We're pretty close in age. And she said, well, I walked in here with back problems. My back was hurting me in the lower back. But these three little kids were walking around, and they prayed for me, and my back problem is gone. So I say to you, there are Marys that are alive, well, and kicking in church that have the same power, the same resurrection power of Christ in them as you do, as I do. And they want to do great and mighty things. So with that in mind, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I wanted to show you something. Hallelujah. Matthew 26. Then starting in verse 36. Let me know when you're there. Amen. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane. This is about when Christ was about ready to die. And said unto them, disciples, sit here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, and watch with me. And when he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as yours, but thou will. And he came again unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation, that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again, and a second time, and he said, he was saying, Oh Father, if this cup may not pass from me, but for me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were very heavy, and he again left them and went again and prayed third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. Jesus is at the end of his life, and he makes an astonishing statement to Peter. He says, Peter, he said, pray that you not enter into temptation. And then he makes the statement that the spirit indeed is willing. And if Peter had the spirit filled in him, and he wasn't weak and fell into temptation, the whole episode with Peter would have been changed. The whole outlook on how Peter denied Christ 3 times would have been drastically changed. But Jesus knew that he would fail. Jesus knew that he would enter into temptation, because he indeed did not have the spirit full enough in him to be able to resist. And Jesus prayed 3 times that the Father would let this cup pass from him. That if there was any way possible, for some other way, other than to be the sacrifice for mankind, let it happen. But there was silence from heaven. And the Bible records in other parallel accounts that his blood veins and the capillaries were busting with blood because of the immense pressure. Jesus was in a time where he was at the most pressured of any time in his life, where he was about to embark on the hardest time there could ever be in his life. And he remembered the Father. And he remembered the Father's will at the hardest time of his life. He remembered what the Father had told him. And he remembered what he entered into when he came to this earth. He said, nevertheless, not my will. Because in my will, I'm going to fail. In my will, it's not going to happen. But Lord, you saved me. You invested in me because my body is no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. Your Holy Spirit lives within me. You have an obligation to help me, to guide me, because I am yours. And I trust you to be able to get me through whatever it is I'm going through. And he did. And he said, not my will, your will be done, Father. Because the plan was already there. And can I tell you, for your lives, Jeremiah chapter 1 said, I knew you before the foundations of the world. I knew the plans I had for you. I know what I have expected you to become. And he expected Jeremiah to be a prophet. Jeremiah says, I'm no prophet. I can't do that. And God says, yes, you can. Yes, you can, because I planted that inside of you. I've made you to become a prophet. And you see, there are men and women in this place right now. God has called you to something great and mighty. But you have to have the attitude that although you see in the natural, there is a supernatural that you cannot see, that God wants to open your eyes and reveal it to you this morning that exists. Because when you look in the natural, you say, it ain't going to happen. God, you're asking me to do this. You're asking me to do that. It can't happen. While I was at Bethel, I had a number of interesting experiences. But one night, I put all this on Facebook because I forgot my journal. And so I didn't want to forget anything, so I just kind of posted there. Sorry if I blew up your phones. But this one day, I don't know if it was a Friday night or if it was a Sunday morning or evening, I was in prayer, and they had a time where the where the praise and worship leader said, "The Holy Spirit's here," I stood up and I prayed. I closed my eyes and I was praying in tongues, and I was shaking, visibly shaking, because I knew the Lord was doing something to me, and I couldn't quite figure it out what it was, but I was visibly shaking. And this lady come over from across the aisle. She was from Germany, and she said, "Can I pray for you?" And she's half German, half American language, and she's praying for me. And she got that prayed for me, and I stopped shaking. I opened my eyes, and I could see things as a seer that I never had the ability to see before. I was able to prophesy where I had never been able to prophesy before. And I went home over all of the prophetic stuff that I learned and all the other stuff that I learned. And I went home, and I said, "Oh, President Bush passed away." And I looked on the internet. He didn't pass away. He was still alive. But the Lord showed me that he already was going to pass away. I just didn't know how to use the gift that I had just gotten. But I said, "Nevertheless, Lord God, if you want to impart to me as a seer the prophetic, show me what that is and help me to not be in the way of whatever that is you want to gift me." And so maybe a week or two after I had that and I saw that, he passed. And everybody at work said, "Yeah, President Bush just passed away." I said, "Yeah, I already know." But I never had that ability before. I never had the prophetic. But what it took for me was to have the attitude of Jesus. I know what I see in the natural. I see the people coming that they want to be able to send me to the cross. I know that it's hard and difficult. But I know because of the Father, there is no other way. But let me show you how you fit into all this, because that's just what I do for a living. When God calls you to something, whatever it is, don't dismiss it. Don't laugh at it like Elizabeth's husband did. And he ended up being quite mute for a long time. But until the child was born. But when you say nevertheless, maybe you're praying for someone for breakthrough. Maybe you're praying for someone who needs a breakthrough and needs deliverance out of something in their life. And God puts the nevertheless in your way. It tells you, you know what, if you do this, you do that, this person's going to have breakthrough. You got to set your own, what you know, aside over here and say, "Lord, you know more than I about this person's life. I've interceded for them. I've been praying for them." And they may be an enemy of yours. They may be somebody that you don't like at work. They may be somebody that just bothers you or just gets your goat all the time. I think I could say that in Illinois. Get your goat. And anyway, so God lays on you to be able to come to him and say, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours." So here's what happens when you say yes. When God says yes to you in your career, when God says yes to you in whatever it is that you are asked to do, you open the cross to that person. When you remember the cross in the afternoon, the sky went gray. And Christ hung on the cross and he died. But what happened was this. While that was happening, the veil that some people say was 4 feet thick was torn in two. You open up the heavens to that person, to what God wants to do in their life or your own life. If God is speaking to you about something about your life, you open up the heavenly realm to see the veil torn that separates you from the answer to what God wants you to do. From you to whatever the answer is in your prayer. To you and to whatever it is that God has spoken to you about in that other person's life. The veil is torn into two. And the Holy Spirit of God, as when the 500 were raised from the dead, it started to walk down the streets. As an evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit comes so strong and so boldly into that person's life or into your own life to accomplish that what he has for you. Because the Holy Spirit comes to empower those 500 people to be raised from the dead, to show the resurrection power of Christ. And that same power is brought into either your life or the person that you are praying for or the situation. And so that's what you open yourself up to. Why? It is an old thing that my old Bible teacher used to tell me. God's never called you to lose. But if God has called you to something, he's called you to win. And if he has called you to win, he'll empower you to be able to accomplish that which he has for you. Amen. Now, in this all, there may be something that's being held back from you because of bitterness, because of unforgiveness. There may be something in your life where God's asked you to move beyond where you are right now, but you're harboring something that you're not intended to. I had in my own ministry, I'll give you my story because it's true, it has happened several times. So I could tell it to you about me. I was early in ministry and I was part of an inner city group of people who loved the Lord. And we were in prayer one day and the Lord said, you have to make it right with your dad. My stepdad deserted me when I was 8 years old and left my mom here with four kids to raise. And we grew up in low-income housing that didn't matter too much. We loved the Lord. We didn't know the Lord back then. But the Lord took care of us. And I said, yeah, all right. He's going to have to forgive. He's going to have to ask forgiveness because he deserted us when I was 8 years old. And the Lord said, no. You have to ask for forgiveness because you have bitterness in your life. And because you have this bitterness in your life, I cannot promote you into what I want you to become. And it hit me. And I tried to dismiss it. And I just tried to say, no, that's not God. God would never tell me to do that. And then everybody I talked to about said, yeah, God would. And so I found him where he was living. He didn't pay any child support. He waited until we were all over 18, and he came back to Wisconsin, and our state didn't prosecute him or did go after him, or if they did, he didn't have anything. Well, anyway, I went to him, and I knocked on his door, and I called him Dad. I don't know why I called him Dad, but I said, Dad, I'm sorry. I've harbored bitterness in my heart because of what you did. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. And we had a five-minute discussion. I closed the door. He closed the door, and away I went into my car. But I went into my car, I could feel that the walls that were built up because of this were torn down. And I started to cry in my car. I couldn't even pull out of his parking lot because I know that Christ did something. I couldn't quite put a finger on it, but I knew that the thing that I needed to do was not what I wanted to do. But I said, nevertheless, God, because you said it, because you wanted me to do it, it has to be of you and not of me. And he empowered me to be able to get there. He empowered me to knock on the door. And he empowered to carry through what it was. When you say nevertheless to the Lord, the impossible becomes possible because God will give you whatever you need to make that happen. And so I got in my car. The walls were down. And here I am, 9 prisons, a couple of churches here and there, and flying all over the world, doing what I do. But that never would have happened if I would have said, Lord, I'm not doing what you're asking me to. You see, we're in a season where God wants to promote many of you in this place. God wants to do many wonderful things in your life right now. And he wants you to be accessible to be able to be used when the call is put upon your life. And he can't do that if there's something there that's keeping you from progressing into what he wants. Like I told the guys at the mission, I said, you've got to have a nevertheless attitude. You've got to have a nevertheless attitude that when God is calling you to do something, although it sounds strange, it sounds crazy, doesn't even sound like it's going to happen, you just say, God, not my will, but yours. I had a prophetic class that I was in, and the lady thought that for sure I already had this gift. And I don't know about it. Well, it came from one of the times where the Holy Spirit grabbed me. And he sent me across from another guy that was visiting too in this class. And she said, "Now, I don't expect much because I realize you're just really new to all of this. But I want you to prophesy this man's life." I don't even know the guy's name. I don't know anything about him other than the fact he loves Jesus because he had this cool smile on his face. But he was in his early 40s. And I said, "Well, let me pray on this for a second." And I just got these words that I thought God was giving me. And the guy said, "You nailed it. That's exactly who I am." And I had that because I didn't go with what I knew in the natural, but I was willing to say, "Nevertheless, Lord God, give me the words to say about this man's life in the supernatural." Because when I see things in the natural, it limits to me what I'm going to do. But when I say, "Nevertheless, Lord," to what he's got for me, that opens the door to whatever God wants to do, no matter how big, no small. And you see, I love coming to preach like places like this. Because if God says, "If I can't trust you in the small things, I can't trust you in the big."
Amen. That's right.
But if I say, "I love this group of people, I'm not just here for the food," although it was a motive after I found out, after Pastor Mike said I could come to preach. It was, the food was kind of on my mind. But I said, "Lord, I will go wherever you want." And the Lord got hold of me when I was young in ministry. He said, "Would you really do that?" And I said, "Yes, I would." And so there's been a test all the way in my life. And there are some places I love going to preach because I just realize they love the Lord. They understand what I'm saying. I don't have to dummy down what I'm talking about because they get what I'm saying just normally, which is one of these places like this. And so I get excited. So as I close, I want to pray for you. The miracle of your birth, your new birth, the miracle of your birth and your new birth are miracles. But the miracle keeps on continuing as the Holy Spirit lives within you. He continues to give new birth to new opportunities, to new things, to new doors that are open, new windows of opportunity for you. He doesn't want you limited. He doesn't want you stymied by the things of this world. But he wants to see you grow and become the person of God who he's called you to be. And to do that, you've got to have a nevertheless attitude. You've got to be able to say to God, "God, I thank you for where you've gotten me. I'm thankful for where I'm here. Contentment is great gain, but I got so much more for you." Be content with where God has you. Let him use you where you are. But have this thing in your heart and in your mind that I cannot stay where I'm at with my relationship with you. There's got to be more to this Christian walk than what I'm living right now.
Amen.
And I look at Pastor Mike a lot of times when he goes to Seoul, when he goes to Korea, when he goes to the places where he goes to, and I'm like, "Whoa, man." And then I say, "Would I go there if God called me there?" And, we talk about our journey sometimes and just, but, God had called him to go, and he's like, "Man, I don't know how all this, the logistics, everything is going to work out." But he always has this, "Nevertheless, God, you want me to go there. I'm going to preach there. I'm going to save some slaves. I'm going to do some work there that you want me to do." And he comes back with these great reports. Why? It's because he opened himself up to the heavenlies. Like Isaiah 64, where it says, "Rent the heavens and come down to this place." All of heaven and all the resources of heaven are yours when you say yes to God and what he has for you. But you got to have the responsibility to say, "Yes, Lord." Nevertheless, it doesn't make sense for me to have a 10-year-old girl touch my nose. It makes no sense at all. But Lord, if you said so, I'm going to do it. It doesn't make any sense for me to stand in front of another guy and be prophesying to this man when I don't know who he is. But Lord God, if you say you want me to do it, I'm going to do it. and nail it. Not all the times that could have happened, but it did. And when God gives you the prophetic, like President Bush passing away, I'm still working on how that gift works, but I was able to do it. And God has not limited his gifts to just me, but everything I know how to do, he's wanting you to do as well. And maybe greater things. He said greater things than you will do than me. Because the Holy Spirit lives within you. You're a Christian who loves the Lord. You need him desperately in your life like I do. And the more that you gain him, and the more that you walk with him, the more desperate you become. Because you find yourself in a plateau sometimes, and you find yourself in an elevation where you wonder, how in the world am I going to be able to sustain this? How am I ever going to get through this? And then you cry upon God, say, God, you got me here. You guide me here, and you fill me with whatever I need to get through, and he will. Heavenly Father, I just praise you and thank you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for every heart here. Lord, that you would give them not a couch potato attitude toward God, but that you would give them a nevertheless attitude. That you would give them that whatever they're facing in life, and God, you call them to something to bring deliverance, to overcome, to bring joy, to bring a conclusion, that you would guide everyone in this church, Lord, to be able to come to the table, to be able to come at your throne room, to be able to ask you, Lord God, because you are gracious and mighty and holy and awesome beyond these decrees, Lord, that you would remove the barriers, that you would remove whatever keeps someone from saying nevertheless, into someone that would say, yes, Lord God. I may be walking on a road that I've never traveled before, and you're asking me to go and to do something I have never done before. But nonetheless, Lord God, my trust is in you. My total trust is in who you are. Lord, you saved me, and you've called me to things, and you will sustain me. You will guide me. And if there's someone in this room right now that needs prayer, someone right now that sees that there's a wall of any kind, could be from anything, Lord knows that they would be able to come up and to be able to, I'll pray for you, that God would release it from your life, that God would take it away from your life, that you would be able to say, yes, God, I want more of you. I want more of what you have, and I want to fulfill that which you called upon me. And I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the birth of Christ. I thank you for this wonderful Christmas spirit. And I thank you for everyone here. In your holy name, amen.